chapter 12 and the first three verses. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to let your word become live and to penetrate our hearts. And Lord, enlighten the areas that need to be enlightened, to challenge us, and the areas that need to be challenged. Let it be your truth that shines forth. In Christ's name, amen. When I was growing up, my basic activities were, of course, going to church and going to school, hunting and fishing and playing ball. Now, in elementary school, the playing ball part was usually associated with basketball, football, or baseball, or anything in between. If it was a walnut and a stick, you played baseball with that. And as I got into high school, there were some other options about things that you can do. Now, to this day, that's been many years ago, I have no clue why I did this. I'm probably going to make up something here in just a minute to tell you why I did this. Somewhere in high school, I decided I would sign up for cross country. Now, prior to this, I had never run past 100 yards unless somebody was chasing me or something was chasing me. Well, cross country is 3 miles. And the only thing I can imagine is that I signed up for cross country because it would get me in shape for some other sport. But it was miserable. I hated it. It felt like they were trying to kill me, not only in the race, but more so in practice. And for y'all that enjoy running long distance, there's something wrong with y'all. I get tired driving 26 miles to Wolf Chase or something. So it's a difficult sport. It's a difficult thing to do. And some of the things that start happening when you run a distance race is that your body starts talking to you. And it talks very loudly. And you get to the point where your body starts saying, "Are you trying to kill us? Really, seriously, are you trying to kill us? We're going to die. And I'm going to show you how we're going to die. There's a nice shady spot over there. Let's just take a break. Go lay, get out in the shade. And, oh, by the way, I see a shortcut that you can take. There's a blister growing down here the size of Texas. We need to stop this craziness now." And so your body starts talking to you. And then at some point in the race, your legs decide to quit talking to you. You know, they're like, "Hey, we're done." You know, you can't even feel your legs at a certain point. And so you just become numb. In running cross country, I learned a couple of things that were important. One is that you need to know where you're going. I've been in races where people didn't pay attention. Every course is different. You go to a different place and the course is different. You have to pay important attention to the instructions of the course markers and things. And I've seen people who should have won the race and they made a wrong turn and got disqualified. So you need to know where you're going. Sounds pretty simple, but you got to pay attention. The other one is you need to run your race. And I'll talk more about that in a minute, but you need to run your race. You don't run somebody else's race. You don't run somebody who's maybe slower than you. You sure don't run a race of somebody who's a lot faster than you, but you run your race and you need to know where you're going. I remember back when I was about this time, I was on vacation with a friend of mine and his family, and I didn't pay attention to where we were staying. We were somewhere at Fort Walton or something, and I was trying to get in shape for something, and I thought it'd be a good idea to go run on the beach, because that's what all the cool kids do, right? They run on the beach in the morning. And so I didn't want to wear my glasses, because if you wear glasses and you're sweaty, it's kind of, well, I didn't actually know where we were staying. I didn't pay attention. I rode with somebody. And so now I have my glasses off, so I can't see. So I'll run down the beach. It's time to turn around. And I begin to realize everything looks the same. Everything is just a blur. I have no idea where I'm going because I can't see and I don't know where I'm going. And that's kind of the case with us in life. And eventually I found my way, obviously. I think I ran to New Orleans and back. But, you know, we got to be able to see and we need to know where we're going in order to run an effective race. Another thing that you learn is that when running your own race is that it's helpful to have other people with you that are running their same race. I went to school. I didn't know this when I signed up, but we had two of the best runners in the country on our cross country team, and I didn't know this at first, and so I started, I'm gonna run with them. That was a bad idea because I was not one of those two. And so as time went on, I had to find somebody who was running the race and it was similar to me. And so you can run a pace and you can encourage one another to run that race. And so it helps to run with people that are running a similar race to you. So you can encourage one another and be able to do that. Because when I tried to run in the front of the pack, that wasn't my race. You know, my race was someplace else. And so you run your race and you find other people that are running a similar race to you, so you can encourage one another. You can strengthen each other to continue to do that. It's kind of a side note, but this is why it would have been ridiculous for me to try to run. We actually won the state 2 years in a row, and we set a record for the number of points one of those years. I had absolutely nothing to do that. I was a guy on the team that said, hey, y'all don't leave me. I'll finish here in a little bit, because they had finished 30 minutes before me. You have to run your race that God has put before you. Another thing that happened when I was long about that time is that they started creating running shoes. Prior to that is that, you know, you go out there with your Converse All-Stars and start running. You know, can you imagine running distance with, you know, a pair of shoes like that? And so they started designing shoes. And so these were lightweight shoes that also gave you support. So another thing that was happening is that clothing was being designed that was lightweight. So there was less weight on your shoes, there was less weight in your clothing, and so you ran that race. In our verses today, it uses the analogy of our life and running a race. And it's very similar to the things that we just kind of mentioned, is that, you know, we've got to cast off those weights. We don't need to be carrying those weights. We need to find that support with other people. And we're going to look at that as we look at these verses. We have to run our race. I like Pilgrim's Progress. It's a great allegory of our Christian race, our Christian walk. There's all kinds of trials and tribulations that Pilgrim goes through. There's difficulties in the Slough of Despair. There's difficulties that get thrown into this dungeon and are beaten. And so they get through those trials and tribulations, and then they get to a place toward the end of their journey called Vanity Fair. And Vanity Fair looks like a really nice place to stay. It looks like a really nice place to set up shop. It looks like a really nice place to stop your race. And that's kind of how our world is today, is that that's kind of that subtle temptation. It's like, you don't need to run that race. It's difficult. There are actually some churches right now that are promoting that sort of kind of gospel. Just be comfortable. You don't have to run that race. Running a distance race is difficult. It hurts. Running our spiritual race is difficult. It can be difficult at times. We have different races that we run. No two races are alike. Let's take a look at some of the verses here. Starting at the beginning of verse 12, the first word, therefore. It's a transitional word. It's a word that kind of draws your attention, but it's transitioning from chapter 11, which is the testimony. We've often referred to that as the hall of faith of all these people in the Old Testament who lived their life by faith, and how that faith had equipped them, and so that faith had helped them in their journey and in their race. And so it's a transition of that. And so therefore, he's transitioning from the testimony of those people. But he wants you to pay close attention. There's certain words in Scripture that says, okay, therefore, now I want you to pay attention. We also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people interpret this differently, but this is not like, you know, a bunch of people up in the clouds looking down on us, watching us run, or in a stadium, or that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the people mentioned in verse 11, their testimony of faith. Their testimony spoke to us. We have a church that's almost 200 years old that has a testimony of faith. You may come from a family that had that same testimony. A testimony is a witness to us. It's a great cloud of witnesses, so that as you run your race and you get into these difficult places, that testimony encourages you to keep pressing forward. All the people mentioned in verse 11 were sinners. The great thing about Christianity is that we're not afraid to display all the faults of our saints, of our heroes. Moses, Abraham, David, all these people were flawed. They were sinners. They had difficult times that they went through, but their faith kept them moving forward. And that's the thing about, instead of just surviving something, is to endeavor to keep pushing forward. So this great cloud of witnesses is there. This church has a testimony. We have to make some decisions in the near future, but we also get to choose, will we endeavor, will we survive, will we thrive? But we still need to run our race. Every race is different. If you compare your race to somebody else's, man, they had an easy race. Man, look at their race. They haven't had the difficulties and hardships. Then you're going to get discouraged and you're going to sit on the sidelines. Everybody has a different race. But as a church, you may not understand somebody else's race and what they've gone through, but you can run alongside them. You can encourage them and strengthen them. We can do that for each other. We can be that body of Christ as we run this race together. Each race is different. Each church is different. This church has a race. Historically speaking, what is the testimony of this church? Will we continue to be a testimony of faith, or will we be something else? And so we run our race with endurance, with that great cloud of witnesses. I mention my grandmother a lot, her testimony of her faith. When I think about when times get tough and times get difficult and the things of this world get really loud, because they do, they get really loud. And they distract us from that race, and we want to pursue those things. Maybe it's a Vanity Fair, or maybe it's something of fear, and it takes us off. And I think about my grandmother and her testimony of faith. Not to uplift her, not to put her on a pedestal, but her testimony of faith. And that's what it's talking about here, that the great cloud of witnesses, that testimony of walking in faith, not by sight, not of this world. We are passing through. This is not our home. We're running a race in a foreign land. And it can be difficult. We need to encourage one another and strengthen one another. Nobody knows how long your race is. It can be a few short years. It can be a long time. We don't know. The thing about running a distance race is you pretty much know where the finish line is. You may not be able to see it, but you know at some point this is when that's going to occur. That's not the case in this race. You don't know where the finish line is. You don't know when God's going to call you home. What if we did every day, say, I want to finish well. Whether I'm 80 or 18, I want to finish well. Whatever God has ordained before me, I want to finish my race well. And I want to do that in a way that glorifies Him. Continuing in verse 12, let us lay aside every weight. And this is not talking about sin, per se. This is the things of this world that can weigh us down. What do you value? What do you spend your time and your energy focused upon that are of this world? There's nothing wrong with having things of this world, but if they weigh us down in running that race, stop and pray sometime today and say, okay, what is it that I value? And then ask yourself this question. Of the things that I value, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, will it matter? If the answer to that is no, then it's a weight that you need to take off. I have a friend who does street ministry, and Danny's a unique personality, and his first stage of his race was pretty rough, and he went to jail for a little bit, and now Danny works as a counselor in the correction facility. But Danny, when young people ask him, he's been married a long time, and people ask him, well, you know, Danny, what's the secret to a long marriage? And he says, keep it simple. And I don't think I've ever seen Danny when he wasn't just wearing a V-neck t-shirt. He just keeps it simple. He's not weighed down by the things of this world. He's ready to do God's work. And so we need to evaluate what are things that may weigh us down, because if they weigh us down too much, they can lead us into sin, because we start treasuring those things, and those things can become idols. But what are the things that you value? What are things that can weigh you down? And then continuing, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We all have a favorite sin, at least one. Maybe you hadn't struggled with that favorite sin in a long time. But it's still there. And maybe it's a weak spot that you had to pay attention to. But we have to be careful. Because if not, and we don't participate in sanctification by us dying to self every single day, then my favorite sin may pop back up again and ensnare me. It is amazing to me how certain thoughts will pop up in my brain. I'm going, where did that come from? It came from that old man who doesn't want to die, and he wants to ensnare me, and he wants to say that I'm disqualified from this race. You need to make sure that you're participating in sanctification so that old sins don't come up and ensnare you. Everybody's race is different. Let us run, continuing verse 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Not everybody's race is the same. Everybody's race is different. But we want to endeavor to endure involves growth and thriving. Surviving is just the opposite of that. Jesus came and he overcame the world. The Israelites were probably the best survivors of any organization, any group of people in the existence of mankind. They didn't need Jesus to come and help them to know how to survive. They had that. Jesus came to overcome the world so that they could run the race, so that we can run the race. Jesus has overcome the world. What are you looking at? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. If you're riding a motorcycle or a bicycle or skiing, and say you're riding a bicycle and there's a pothole in the road, if you look at the pothole, you're going to hit the pothole. If you look at where you're going, you can miss the pothole. This world has lots of potholes along the way. There are going to be difficulties and hardships and mountains. But we fix our eyes upon him, upon Jesus, the author and the finisher. Those mentioned in chapter 11 were flawed. Jesus was the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith. The only person who started his race and finished his race, he started it well, in the middle was well, and he finished it well. He's the one that authors that. That's who we set our eyes upon. We set our eyes upon him because there's so many distractions in this world that tell us, take a shortcut. Take a break. You don't need to work so hard. Just coast. When we kick it into neutral, you don't roll forward, you roll backwards. To keep pressing forward, to know that Jesus is going to finish that within us, to set your eyes upon him, so that we miss the potholes of life. In verse 3, for consider him. Kind of what he's saying there is, think about this. Ponder on this. Let this sink in. Consider this. Who endured? Jesus didn't just survive. He endured. He pushed through it and he pressed through it. He finished the most difficult race that anybody has ever had to run. And he finished it. Such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Distance runners will hit a wall. I mean, your body's just like, yeah, no, we're done. That's it. You hit that wall and everything just wants to shut down. If you know where your wall is, I remember in cross country, if you knew the course, then you could put supporters at that point along the race, and they were there to encourage you to push through that wall. And so we'll do that spiritually in this world. You'll have a season of difficulty and hardship, and it'll be hard. when we run our race, we need to find other people to run alongside us in that race. I can't run your race for you, but I can run alongside you. I can encourage you. I can support you. That's what the church is all about, that as we run that race, that we encourage each other, because we're all going to hit that wall at different times. It gets difficult. But to be able to push through that wall, we need that support and that prayers of other saints to help us along that way. And that's one of the things that I've noticed from the very beginning about this church. We're very good at supporting each other in difficulties. Let's support each other to push through that wall when we just want to give up so that we can finish well. Dave Waddle was a skinny eel little baby. He wasn't doing too well. And so the doctors told the parents is that you need to get this young man in some type of sports. And so what the Waddle family chose was to get Dave involved in distance running. And so you may remember him, and he did. You may remember him from wearing this goofy golf cap. And so he excelled at it. And he grew and he grew and he got better on top of his sport and that type of thing. And so it came time for the Olympics, and he was running the 800 meters and then the 1500 meters. And so in the 800 meters, they started the race and he was dead end at the race. I mean, he was the whole race, he's last. And toward the end, about the last 200 meters, Dave kicked it and he won the gold medal in the 800 meters. He didn't start well, but he finished well. I shared with the youth a story about John Bramlett. John didn't start out well, but he finished well. That's how we finish. You may have had a rough start in the beginning. You may have had a rough start in the middle, but we want to be able to finish well. I've got a friend. He's an older friend. His name is Jesse. Actually, Jesse grew up in this community. And I don't see Jesse much because he's homebound right now. But I see his wife from time to time, and I tell her, you remind Jesse that he's my hero. And what I mean by that, he's my hero of faith. Jesse started out, his whole family were outlaws. I mean, basically, they just didn't have a good reputation. And then Jesus got a hold of Jesse and turned his life around. And so to this day, he's had all kinds of difficulties and death in the family and numerous bouts of cancer, and he's dealing with cancer now. And so Jesse gets up every morning at 4 o'clock and reads the Bible, studies the Bible for 2 hours. He puts posts on social media encouraging other people and supporting them. And when you get to interact with Jesse, he doesn't want to talk about what's going on with him. He wants to know how you're doing. So Jesse's one of my heroes of faith because he wants to finish well, and he's going to finish well because his eyes are upon Jesus and not upon anything else. You may be at a place right now of either going through your wall or hitting your wall or having a difficult time. And just to know that the testimony of the people that went before you, the testimony of your ancestors, the testimony of this church, the testimony from Hebrews 11, but also to know that there are people around you that are encouraging you to go through this difficult time. Let's encourage one another, lift each other up, and run alongside each other in our race. For when we finish our race, we want to be able to hear our Father say, good race, great finish, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we know that you understand difficult this race is, and going through this foreign land, and how the distractions of the many voices calling us to go a different way, an easier way, a way that is not your calling. Lord, empower us to always focus upon you, to be surrounded by other runners of like faith. Lord, that we would be able to hear those words and finish well. Watch over us this week, and Lord, let us be light into the world. Lord, strengthen us and encourage us as we continue in this world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.